Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you a live extemporaneous interview with the Reverend Jim Baker.
There is no exemption from copyright for home taping, period, without the consent of the owner. But obviously, there is no prosecution in this area going on. Anytime there is a fixation, which means any time that a performance of a work is committed to a medium, the person who created that medium owns it. But I question whether a spontaneous radio show is the subject of copyright. We're getting into some fairly technical areas of copyright law here. I'd very seriously question whether this is a work as such, and whether it can be copyrighted. Generally,
now this is not FCC approved. This is not for your children.
We want people to make up their own minds.
You don't
FCC
like
approved.
Where's the system?
The responsibility for brain damage, loss of premises.
You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to
the self-genius hour of slack.
I say the word start, the test will begin. Are you ready? Start.
When was the last time you had your hearing checked?
I would advise him to learn to lip read.
Insert earplugs now.
What is this?
Not what I'd like to listen to, but I don't think I should be able to tell the other people what they can or can't listen to.
Deafness is not only uncool, it's incurable.
But I've shot my hearing.
Call now and receive a coupon for a free hearing test.
Guaranteed you won't hear any of this music on elevator.
It's rock and roll!
He's got you laughing.
If you suspect a hearing loss or thought nothing could be done about it, ask your family doctor.
Feel your eardrums explode!
No, no!
This concludes this hearing test.
Thank you.
But this does not conclude this pledge drive. No. Actually, that was, the piece you just heard was from the new album by Out of Band Experience, or OBE, whose t-shirt you can see me wearing here tonight. And I'll be giving you a phone number you can call to speak to OBE, Out of Band Experience, because they sent a wonderful album. Very Dobbs approved. But you can't hear it unless you call the station and pledge. This is Plunderphonics, man. This is total Plunderphonics in the background. And you're plundering our phonics if you can't help out just a bit. I mean, I know you're broke. Jeez, man, I've been paying bills all day. I started out with some money. I paid bills in the morning. By afternoon, I was dead broke. So I know exactly how you feel, but show start now.
Come on, let's
no.
Oh, well.
This is American Top 40.
I have climbed the highest mountains.
Yeah, I believe it's the weatherman.
And guess what?
Yeah,
I've run through the fields only to be with you. Yep, with you. No one else, just
here's the first Top 40 hit.
And guess what?
For the Irish band from Dublin who call themselves U2.
I have run, I have crawled, I have scaled these city walls. Yeah, that's really great. I can't believe I did it, but Nevertheless, I have done that for you.
That's the letter U and the numeral, too.
Only to be with you, I've done all these things. Yeah, with you. The fat one, that's it. You're the fat one, and I want to be with you.
What's the matter?
Did I say, why was it changed here?
But, on the other hand, I still haven't found what I'm looking for.
That's the letter U and the numeral, too.
Maybe they'll make it as a junior.
But, on the other hand, I still haven't found what I'm looking for.
That's the letter U and the numeral.
Nope, definitely not.
Two.
I haven't found it.
They're kind of like...
I just can't seem to find it.
That's the letter U and the numeral, too.
Nope, definitely not. I haven't found it.
That's the letter U and the numeral, too.
Come on.
And here's what else I've done.
Come on, let's see what we can find.
I have kissed honey lips, felt the healing in her fingertips. I've even done that.
That's the letter U and the numeral, too.
While I was doing that, you know, all the kissing on the honey lips, it burned like fire, and it reminded me of cheap melting plastic. Kind that makes little clouds of white vapor gas, and then when it catches on fire, makes those little strings of black smoke with little ashes attached to them. That's how it was kissing honey lips.
Why are we doing it? Why have we changed something?
I still haven't found it. What I'm looking for, that is,
the last thing we want to do is sound like anybody else.
That's the letter U and the numeral, too.
You've got to challenge, you know, musically speaking. You know, you've got to find new sounds on the guitar. You've got to find a new way of approaching a 4-4 beat.
Yeah, you got to find new ways, friend.
Are you too married?
And that mix by Negative Land has become legendary. Extremely banned because of the nightmare of big corpo music's view of copyrights and money. Negative Land, for those who weren't aware, is a pretty tiny budget art band, very, you know, critically respected by me and many other people. A band of geniuses who basically invented a new genre, but they did a takeoff on the Normals, dear friends, and they paid. They really paid. They got smashed, clobbered by the stark fist of first the legal department of Island Records, and then by the backstabbing, thieving, so-called alternative record distributor, SST. And Negative Land is now consigned to brokenness. Much like we here in the Church of the Subgenius, a Negative Land is also consigned to this eternal legal nightmare because of doing their takeoff on a normal, very rich band. But also, at the same time, they become heroes! Heroes, dear friends, to all real artists! The martyrs to artful freedom, to tweak the cheeks of the mega biz giants such as the band U2. Now, U2 wouldn't be such bad guys except that they didn't lift a finger to stop the corporate giant that they were in bed with from wrecking the lives of these innocent, if mischievous fellows, Negative Land. Huh.
Yeah, I should be saying American Top 40 is heard.
Are you too married to a great idea?
It was every week American Top 40 is heard.
Everything is topsy-turvy.
No, I'm saying it is.
Is it to just screw up things?
Marriage is not you two living for each other.
Because I can't say this. You know,
let's see what we can find.
Everything's such a mess.
That's how we're almost finished.
Is you two uniting to live as a team for this great purpose?
Obscenity! Reality! I don't care! I don't listen! I don't follow!
Now, friends, you know I could be playing such wonderful music about how hard it is to survive in the corporate music world without a whole lot of money. And in fact, that's what I'm just going to have to do, because this is, in fact, the horrible show about money and art and theft and collaboration and obscenity and money, mainly money, because this is a pledge drive and we are not kidding. If you don't care, well, I don't know, maybe one of these days we won't care either, and then the world will end. Money, money. What we're trying to do, friends, is pull your strings of sympathy and guilt and hate tonight. Because it's money, money, money. Money, 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 money. It does indeed make the world go round. A nasty situation, but that's the way it is. And we don't mind those of you who literally have nothing from freeloading off of the slack of this show. But for those of you who have a little bit of something, man, you're going to get a bunch of nothingness for that something unless you put it in the right place, which is this radio station and this radio ministry. My God. Oh, I'm serious. I was paying bills this morning, and I was dead broke by this afternoon. So I'm in the mood to do this show, this particular show, which actually is going to star the commercially available albums featuring Bob Dobbs on the cover, but which are not Subgenius Foundation tapes, but albums, tapes, CDs distributed by others. And unlike our tapes, most of them are available in stores. But these all are authorized releases by friends, yes, and members of the honest and true Church of the Subgenius, and not the Canadian anti-Semitic right-wing LaRouchian false Church of the Subgenius. And I'm going to have to pause in my pledge drive money begging tonight, friends, and once again mention the problem. It seems these Pink Canucks, so-called producers for Bob in Canada, Toronto, sent out a press release full of lies, lies indeed, really, to every music magazine and college radio station in the country, claiming that they were the real Bob Dobbs and trying to paint a picture of me, your poor old overworked host and prayer partner, Reverend Ivan Stang, trying to make me look like a crazy crackpot. Now, can you imagine that? Who had just come out of the woodwork to harass them and their wonderful new invention, the Church of the Subgenius. Now, fortunately, dear friends, they seem to have taken real careful aim and shot themselves right straight in the foot, because you'll be pleased to know that we've been getting calls from magazines and radio stations saying, well, we never heard of your church before, but we really don't care that much about it, but these people are obviously ripping you off.
That is crime, and crime must be dealt with forcefully.
Stop!
Law and order.
Your attention, please. At the recommendation of the International Time Bureau, commencing at 23 hours, 59 minutes, 60 seconds UTC, an extra second will be inserted into the NBS time scale.
The owner of the copyright and certain exclusive rights, which, regarding the use of the musical work, would simply, this means that he or she is the only person that can make copies of the work or perform it in public. He is the only person that can authorize others to do the same. If a person exercises those rights without the copyright holder's consent,
copyright.
Such use is called copyright. An infringement copyright. Of the copyright,
copyright.
And is subject
copyright.
To civil
copyright.
And criminal copyright. Proceedings.
Copyright.
This way I can personally see that you're persecuted to the full extent of the law.
Copyright. All rights reserved.
Copyright.
If you
copyright.
Manufacture
copyright.
Or import sound
all
carriers
copyright.
Which reproduce
copyright.
Copyrighted
copyright.
Songs
all
without
right.
obtaining
reserved.
A mechanical license
copyright.
For each song,
copyright.
Then you all have
right.
infringed
copyright.
The copyrights
copyright.
In question.
That is crime.
Time.
Canada's copyright,
copyright
legislation
copyright.
Provides
copyright.
For civil penalties
copyright.
And
copyright.
Criminal prosecution
copyright.
With
copyright.
A maximum fine
copyright.
Of $1 million
copyright.
For copyright infringement.
Copyright. Copyright.
If a CD,
copyright.
A cassette,
copyright.
Or LP
copyright.
Contains
copyright.
Unlicensed
copyright.
Music, it can
copyright.
Be removed from
copyright.
The market by way of
copyright.
Injunction.
Copyright.
As well,
copyright.
Anyone handling
copyright.
Infringing merchandise
copyright.
Is likewise
copyright.
Guilty
copyright.
Of infringement,
copyright.
Including
copyright.
Distribution,
copyright.
Wholesale,
copyright.
And retailers.
Copyright.
Crime.
That is crime. And crime must be dealt with forcefully.
Remember, copyright is the basis of the music industry.
Someone has said, get a great ideal, a great purpose, marry it, and raise a family.
What the hell's going on here?
Bono.
Yeah, I should be saying American Top 40 is heard.
Are you two married to a great idea?
It was every week American Top 40.
Yes, I... Am I married to a great idea? I sure as hell am, and I like to think some of you all are too. And you need to support your husband, J.R. Bob Dobbs. That piece you just heard was by FU235. That's right, FU235, piece called Copyright Time from his FU2 project in defense of Negative Land. Ironically enough, this... Urania-235, as he's also known, is from Toronto, Canada, and is also the editor of the wonderful FOD Maggot Zine. He tried to do a project in defense of Negative Land and found himself subject to and threatened by the same sort of lawsuits that Negative Land faced, because you just can't badmouth the conspiracy without them coming down on your hard. They're paying those lawyers already. And neither you or me or Negative Land can afford to pay those lawyers for 5 or 10 minutes, much less what's required to get justice. I spent 2 hours on the phone last night with Mark Hostler of Negative Land. It has turned into such a mess. He's real sorry. He got tricked, so to speak. The whole band kind of got tricked into... contributing a mix. They remixed a cut on the second of the Canadian Counterfeit Subgenius albums. He had asked the Canadians if this project was approved by Dobbs and us in Dallas, and they lied and said it was. Otherwise, Negative Land wouldn't have helped them out on the thing, and now they feel ripped off by these guys too, and it's all turned into the most embarrassing thing, because these plagiarists try to make it look like we're fascists. We're some kind of fascists who are going to sue anybody who uses the Subgenius concept. Now, quite the opposite is actually true. These Canadians aren't using many of the Subgenius concepts at all. They're using our entire name and identity because it means something in the fringe world. They're claiming they're us and then cranking out some pretty lame gobbledygook. And what's worse, they have this weird conservative agenda. I mean, really intense conservative agenda. They brag about how they're in good with people like Lyndon LaRouche and even Henry Kissinger. I think actually they just interviewed him once and they somehow think that makes him real cool. Anyway, friends, the fact is we've never had any problem at all with various individual artists doing albums or whatever, comics, that incorporated Subgenius materials. We're happy that they want to. We're happy that you tape this show. And all we ask is mutual back scratching. Well, that's not all we ask. In the case of this show, the station needs a few pennies out of you to stay on the air. That's 823-7490. They give us credit, and they publicize Bob's message, and we help to publicize their band or whatever. And the subject of money usually doesn't even come up because all the parties are probably barely breaking even anyway. It's done for fun, for slack, dear friends. And these Canadian yo-yos have stolen our name to make money. And the reason they've been able to get away with it is A, they already have a lot of money. And B, they're in Canada, which makes it hard for us to pursue through legal options. And as far as I can tell, they must be nuts because they're digging their own graves deeper and deeper as far as the art world integrity goes. And I don't doubt that the names Nelson Fall and Bob Dean will become synonymous with big corporate ripoffs of struggling independents. I don't doubt that at all, but tonight we would like to illustrate to you the range of artists who have worked Subgenius into their stuff with permission now, as friends, not claiming to be Bob themselves. I mean, not even we do that. We're not stupid enough to do that.
Public domain. Raw material for your reuse. Here it is. Public domain. Here it is. Duplication. Raw material for your reuse. Right ahead. Make a buck. It's all yours. No permission or clearance of any kind is necessary. Go right ahead. Do anything you want with raw material for your reuse. I hope that's clear. Of course, you just can't beat the island. Corporate lawyers behind the artists. Go ahead and try.
That was part two of the FU-235 tape, Island Records Sample Fest by Arthur Q. Damage. See, that's what I'll play for the out-of-town shows.
That was a bad word. I hope the FCCA...
No, I didn't know. FU-235? Oh, yeah, but they have to see the word dangling in the air in front of their eyes. And they may, well, they're subgeniuses. Maybe they will see it.
Anyway.
Yeah. Thank you. Oh, Ranger Ruth, she lets us do this show. That woman lets us do this show. She's really the main reason we've managed to stay on the air. And you better listen to her, folks. Okay, OBE, or Out of Band Experience, in Boston, Reverend Bill T. Miller has released a new album called Kings of Feedback, and I would love to just play that whole album on this show. Some of it is undecensorable, you might say, but check it out.
what I'm asking people to do is accept that everything they've based their lives on is a lie.
Don't you mind seeking salvation? There are enemies of children's souls all alone in this world of wickedness. Search inside yourself by your soul.
In the name of the Jesus, I bend over.
Conspiracy made him want to be normal. think you've developed some kind of obsession here. I think you need some help.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Hey, why do you want to be normal?
That was what we just played with Normal by OBE, their Kings of Feedback series. And you can reach, these are available as LPs and EPs and tapes and everything else. You can call Outband Experience, Reverend Bill Miller, at area code 617-LICK-OBE. That's right, LICK-OBE. 617-LICK-OBE. OBE. Or write them at Post Office Box 221. That's 221 Boston, Massachusetts. 02123. What an easy address. Box 221 at 02123 there for Kings of Feedback. Non-Subgenius Foundation records that have stuff about Bob, and it's fine with us. We're real happy to see it. As opposed to this Bob's Media Ecology stuff, it's so sad that some people have to take a good idea and steal it, misuse it, and wreck it, basically to save themselves the work or the need for any talent of their own.
Huh. Let me make you re-enunciate. Thank me.
We're nonviolent with people who are nonviolent with us.
Everything basically disappeared.
Super naughty bad brain, I want to kill you.
Used Slack. Yeah, here's some stuff about Used Slack. This is a little clip from the San Francisco Weekly last week. Slack slugfest. Fur is flying among factions of the Church of the Subgenius over the question of who bears the standard of the real Bob Dubs. It all goes on and on, but the gist of the hissy fit boils down to mudslinging between a certain Reverend Ivan Stang and Toronto dwellers who've released an album culled from their Canadian Media Ecology Radio Talk Show hosted by, you guessed it, Bob Dubs. Threats of lawsuits and seething letters to various editors have followed, but the Toronto group vows to release Volume 2 of their Bob's Rants in February. Am I the only one who's reminded of the never-ending Negative Land saga? Yeah. Used Slack, dear friends.
Slack! You Slack!
Slack beyond your wildest.
Send your money now!
Conspiracy denies me again!
Send your money!
Kings of Feedback. And I'm gonna get back on that subject of Bob Dean, the counterfeit Bob Dobbs. And actually, don't worry, this will probably be the last one. But actually, lately I've come to sort of a plateau of hate. It's kind of evened off for me. I have to admit that for several weeks I've been letting these fake Bob Dobbs yo-yos kind of get to me. You know, I was waking up angry every morning. Well, not every morning, not always. I had other things to think about some mornings besides them, but it had been getting bad, and my blood pressure would skyrocket whenever I thought about them, and my rants, I'll admit it, were starting to get strident and shrill, and perhaps they still are. And it was kind of an impasse. But yesterday, my hate finally crossed over from the paralyzing humanoid Deanian style hate to the ascended, true subgenius like hate squared. And I was freed! And last night, I started writing satires on them, which makes me feel like things are getting back to abnormal. Now, several different events helped me reach this understanding. First, the best thing was Negative Land and Steinsky, and pretty much everybody else who'd been paid to work on the second fake Bob album caught on. And they're denouncing that treacherous bunch. Yes, yes, justice shall prevail. And secondly, a bunch of magazines and radio stations have checked out both sides, and they're all about ready to pounce on those bastards. But the best of all was I was sent a copy of an interview with Bob Dean conducted by our friend Dad, who hosts The Hour of Slack and Dad's new Slack shows in Portland, Maine on WMPG. And I finally got to hear, I have something I can play to you, what Dean is saying about us and about me and the entire rest of the church, really. I didn't want to read their press release to you, because if I did, you'd think I was making it up. You would think it was me doing a satire of these guys, but now it's like you can actually hear what he wants you to believe. So let's just move into this vindictive, hateful, wonderful, wonderful thing. Yes.
Bob, I want all my garments. Yeah.
You just kind of get your hands around that concept and work it.
Well, I would just like to point out the fact that there's a musical group locally that has the name Bob J.R. And
there's a musical group named Bob J.R.?
I'm quite suspicious of their intent.
It seems like there's a lot of false Bobs lately, you know?
There are false Bobs.
And stick around. In a few minutes, I'm going to play this Bob Dean interview I did, and you'll hear the falsest Bob of all.
I'm looking forward to it.
Okay.
Who would do that?
Bob.
But Bob is not real.
There are pages torn out. That is real, Harold.
Okay, well, maybe.
Bob is real. He's been having me since I was 12.
I had nothing to do with the CD. And
you had nothing to do with it?
No, I don't know these people. Nelson Saul and Dave Neufeld.
Bob Dean.
Yeah, Bob Dean just appeared about 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
In 88. I've heard from Neufeld and Saul that the last place he was at was at Stang's house, October 28, 1988.
This is a fact, huh?
Yeah.
Oh.
So Bob Dean, I've been sent this stuff. He's ranting about Nelson Saul and Bob Dean. Yeah, Nelson Saul was involved, but Bob Dean hasn't been seen in years. But my own history goes back to 1922 when I was born. Yesterday, February 2nd, the day Ulysses came out by James Joyce. So I've just turned 71. And I had a butler, just to bring up the date, I had a butler named Tom Duché. And he decided to defect from me. In early 91, he sort of jumped ship out of what I was doing. And the next thing I know, in April 22nd, I found out, was the release date of the first Bosmedia Ecology. There was this thing on the market produced by Nelson Saul and Dave Neufeld. The only thing that refers to me that was actually written by me is the memo to Prince Charles, which I actually wrote back in, I think it's 87. And the only person who would have access to that is Tom Duché. So I think Tom Duché is somehow working with Nelson Saul and Dave Neufeld.
Oh, yes, dear friends. Well, let's stop and examine these things every now and then. So now that was Bob Dean talking to Dad of Dad's New Slacks. So now Bob Dean is ashamed of Nelson Thal. He doesn't know Nelson Thal or the engineer of the album. Bob Dean, he says, disappeared at Stang's house in 1988. Now, it's true that Dean came to my house in 1988 and told me he was going to play Bob Dobbs on the radio, and I told him I didn't think that was a good idea and really didn't want him to, and I didn't think he sounded anything like the Bob I knew. And Bob can speak for himself, you know. He doesn't need some this guy. But anyway, remember that. Remember that little bit there about how Bob Dean disappeared at Stang's, and I guess at that point he became Bob Dobbs. And he's 71 years old now, and yet makes very trendy references, we notice. And suddenly, Thal and Neufeld did this album, but it's not his fault. So he can stab them in the back now, I see. By the way, the guy that he keeps referring to, David Neufeld, is probably the only blameless person involved in this thing. He's the only one, actually, with any talent. He did a pretty good mixing job on those things. Kind of a shame, really, that they had to put our name on their stuff. I just don't get it.
But actually, there's a new Bob's Media Ecology, Bob's Media Ecology 2 disc. It's coming out this month. And I was supposed to have a copy tonight, but, you know, cheesy publicists in Toronto can't quite get it together that fast. Anyway, what they did do for me, though, was they gave me an opportunity to speak with this Bob Dean, or Bob Dobbs, as he called himself. But, you know, it's interesting. It's not with the quotation marks around Bob. Now, he says that's just Stang's interpretation. Yeah, I spoke with him, and he kept me on the horn for a long time. And he told me the truth, as only he knows it. Oh, yeah. You know, I played along with him. I actually let him think that I was interested in what he had to say. But I'll tell you the truth. I mean, this guy, if he has any one particular talent, it's his ability to lie in such a powerfully straight-faced manner that many people actually believe what he's saying. Unless, of course, you're of Yeti extraction, in which case you can see right through it. But he is an extremely talented, I mean, as well as being a talker. I mean, the guy can talk a mile a minute, and But he's a great liar and fantasist and deceiver. And the thing about it is he's still quite a subgenius. I mean, that's the difference here. That's the difference, is that the real subgenius church has room for everybody. It doesn't matter if you're a dangerous, demented, twisted po-bucker like Jane or Hypercleats, or a fascist, egocentric, science fiction geek like Bob Dean, or just a plain old dad like me.
These occurrences are pure figments of imagination. Any abnormal sound?
Bob Dean and Bob Dean.
I was going to be a break in that genetic line, and I felt my role was to free whoever was interested from the pink prison of the rapidly imploding hologram of the 70s and 80s. I had to stay in the Secret Council 10, do all the dirty work. I was involved in the assassinations of Martin Luther King, Kennedy, George Wallace, you know, back in the 50s, other hit jobs, and much money laundering, drug dealing.
So you're not the J.R. quotation mark Bob Dobbs mentioned in some of the Subgenius Foundation literature then?
Well, technically I'm not J.R. I don't have those initials. I am the Bob Dobbs that that Stang Wright spoke, because when he met me in the late 70s in Dallas, he and Fowler Drummond, I think I inspired him, and the effect of personal encounters with me will burst the creative instinct and expand it, and I think that the whole cartoon figure they created was a tribute to the effect I had on Stang, but I...
Mm-mm. No, no way.
No.
Mm-mm.
No, I don't think so either. Mm. No, so, well, now we find out the Exus have landed, and even though Bob Dean first met us in 1988 and then became Bob Dobbs, yet Bob Dobbs met us in 1979 and inspired everything that all of you and the rest of us have ever done in the name of Bob. All inspired by this guy that you hear talking on the, you know.
I don't call myself J.R., I call myself Bob Dobbs. But what Stang created was an interpretation of my work. And it's very nice, complimentary interpretation. He has full confidence in what I'm going to accomplish. I mean, Lockdown Bob Rule with what he predicts in his charts there. It's a lot harder than the way he maps it out in the Book of the Subgenius. The battle's still going on between me, Prince Charles, the Turn and Taxis group, and the Romanov group in Russia.
You're doing a good job. But it seems that, I mean, the J.R. Bob Dobbs that I've read about in Subgenius lore,
yeah,
is someone who is out to unmask the conspiracy.
That's what I'm doing. That's what Lockdown Bob Rule means, to free the free what Stang calls subgeniuses from the pink prison, which I will do. And the Exus have already landed. He has the date 1998. They arrived in February, March 88 from the Booties constellation. And I'm very conscious of what I'm saying as I talk to you, in the sense that in 15 years you'll know that the first contact was made from the aliens from the Booties constellation. So this is historic what I'm saying. You don't know if it's true now. They're the ones doing the crop circles. But I don't expect people to believe this stuff, you know, that I have access to this situation. I mean, Stang's projection of July 5th, 1998... coincidentally, and he would know this, and when he met me in the late 70s, my father died on July 5th, 1976, and exactly 22 years later, you have Stang mapping out the return of the Exus, so that I met Stang in the late 70s, if I can remember accurately, so that was after my father died, so I probably told him that fact.
Well, what's this date he's referring to about way back in 87?
I like his works. They're funny. It's interesting stuff. It's not as accurate as what I'm going to lay out, but...
Well, I don't think he's interested in accuracy.
Oh, but yeah, he's free to be inaccurate if he wants to. But I haven't got the freedom or time or leisure to be inaccurate. I mean, to do the tetrad management I'm engaged in, I got to be very, very precise. So he interpreted me, and then Nelson Thal and Neufeld interpreted me. I think they interpret other aspects of myself that Stang wasn't aware of, so I don't know how Stang can say that they ripped him off. I mean, they have a right to interpret me as much as he does.
Oh, gee, thanks, Bob. I'm so glad that I have the right to interpret you. I'm glad that all of us subgeniuses have been able to interpret you without even knowing it. Yeah, does this sound like the J.R. Bob Dobbs? You know, anyway, he goes on and talks about how he's the Dobbs in Catch-22. Catch-22 is also based on him, or at least that Dobbs character in there. Now, listen to this part coming up where he talks about the great deal that his producer, who he claims not to know. Now, these guys get together. And later on in the conversation, he talks about he keeps letting slip that they do know each other. So, well, Thal has the tape. Well, not Thal. I have the tape. Thal doesn't have the tape. You'll see.
The Church of the Subgenius is broke, and there's no way he can fight them, particularly in the Canadian court.
Oh, you know, sure, from what I understand, is that Nelson Thal offered a whole business arrangement with him. But, in fact, he told me that some of the things Stang is writing in these letters in the magazines are erroneous. Just
what,
wrong.
The option
yeah.
letter?
The statement that Nelson Thal has not returned his call. I know we've tapped, since I'm still trying to find out where Tom Fichet is, I've tapped some of Nelson Thal's calls with Stang, and they arranged a meeting in, Detroit, Chicago in October, but the strike of the U.S. Air Network canceled that meeting. Then they had a meeting.
Did you arrange that? That's
no, I wasn't part of that, but I'm trying to find out who is arranging it. I think Stang, Tom Duchesne is working behind the scenes with Thal and Neufeld, though I can't pin him down. And so that's why I was monitoring, and I know about this stuff. And then I know that we have tapes of these conversations. I know that, Thal doesn't have tapes, but I do. And they'll be used when it's necessary against Tom Duchesne.
I wish they'd make a new album. Make Bob's Media Ecology 3 out of my phone calls to these guys. You know, as he talks about how, Stang had said that Thal wouldn't return any calls, and what a lie. I mean, of course he would. I never said that Nelson Thal wouldn't return any calls. I said Bob Chicken Dean wouldn't return any calls, and he still hasn't. The guy, I don't blame him. I would be damn scared to face what he'd be facing if he did. I guess he'd just rather let the embarrassment pile up. It's unbelievable. Yeah, his producer, Nelson Thal, called us up and offered, here was the great deal, the wealth that Thal offered us. He said that he would let us distribute his album. You know, what a generous guy. He would let us distribute it, you know, and all we'd have to do is pay him.
I know that Thal then offered certain deals with Reverend Stang that he turned down. So, and he hung up on Thal, so it doesn't sound that he knows how to do business. Thal is wealthy, but he's certainly willing to share the wealth if Stang knows how to deal with it. But I don't understand why he gets upset about the copyright, because there is no problem, and there's nothing about the Church Subgenius on that CD.
Oh, no, nothing.
No, there's just mentions of Slack.
And Pink.
That's
about
as close
as
you get to anything to do
and
with Subgenius.
And the name of Church of the Subgenius.
Yeah, but there's no copyright on English language. I mean, Slack is in Webster, in the Dictionary of Slang, so how could anybody say they own the word?
See, that's the problem with Stang's Church. It presents Slack as something easy, and it's only been easy for myself over the last several lifetimes because I had gotten it so long ago. But for most Pinks, and you are a Pink, you only recognize your Subgenius as it's being sparked by Stang or this album or my talk. You only begin to recognize the potential of the Subgenius in you, and you got to work to get it.
I think I can probably get more slack by burning your book than by reading it.
No, I don't think you could. This is a big opportunity.
Oh, thanks for the big opportunity, Bob. One last little bit I'm going to play for y'all, and I want you to listen. He has a problem here between we and them, or us and them. He starts to say that we have this video out, but oh no, I don't know the people who did this video. It's nice.
You ever watch Rush Limbaugh? Or Limbaugh? That
no.
TV show?
No.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy to watch. You ever read Camille Paglia?
No.
Yeah, did you ever read Linda LaRouche stuff?
No.
Yeah, what do you read? You don't read much? You know we got a video out? When I say we, I mean them. They have a video out now for Everything's Disappeared. Pretty good. Based on their interpretation of my chart.
that's in the first CD. But, you know, you'll get it for free. You know, you guys on the college network get a lot of things for free. Part of having a radio show, you get things sent to you, right?
Yeah, that's about all the slack I get, Bob, you know.
Yeah. Well, you never know. Now that you paid for it, you know, maybe I'll call you and give you a free call sometime.
What a generous guy, you know. As Dad, who was doing the interview there, and Paul, we appreciate it, Dad. That was wonderful. Dad, at the end of his letter here, says, well, I suppose they think they're being really cool neo-ists by appropriating Bob's sacred name, but in the long run, I think you protest too much, he tells me. These guys are never going to get rich off recycling McLuhan, Uber conspiracy drivel, and the same wimpy disco tune with 17 different mixes, no matter how much publicity they get in the short term. He says, you know, I'm sure you think it's pink to give this guy any publicity, but I say let him spew. Nobody gets, likes, or believes his message anyway. Nobody I know. And, boy, it's true. We've gotten a lot of mail from people who were angry at us thinking we were him. And others who instantly realize the difference here. Old Reverend Stark in New York says, I never could figure out what he was talking about on that stupid CD of his. Now I know the reason was that my truly Yatinson brain cannot process this glorp scum's insane babblings. And it does get pretty insane. It goes on and on and on and on and on. And friends, I don't know. After this, he probably won't ever hear me mention Dean and his counterfeit garbage again. I mean, after all, the meanest thing I can do to a person is to forget him, to ignore him, to banish him from my thoughts entirely. That's my prerogative as a truly great subgenius, as every subgenius should see itself, to cause others to cease to exist by ignoring him. By really blowing them off, then they're relegated to the dustbin of the universe. And until now, I've only felt that way about three people. I can't remember who they are. But now there's two more people to whom my hate grew to a transcendent hate squared and thus doomed them forever to the garbage heap of subgenius history. And I do mean forever. We'll tolerate a lot, but after we're pushed past the limit, that's it. That's it forever and ever and ever. And you know, the only, I don't know, Dad's observations calm me down quite a bit. He pointed out that I have gotten too upset. How can we possibly worry about somebody whose imitation of us is so boring and irritating? I mean, as boring and irritating as we are, just listen to that guy. Although, you know, and he also pointed out, after all, Bob Dean is a subgenius, a bad subgenius, a treacherous, misguided one, more dangerous than a thousand pinks, but you gotta give him credit, no pink could lie like Bob Dean. Well, we have one message for Bob Dean, and, well, I knew J.R. Bob Dobbs, and you, sir, are no J.R. Bob Dobbs.
Hey, your mother has been using my name for many years. Come on over to my place. I'll cut your belly open and make you look at all the boring tape you got in there. I'll put the B-O-B on both cheeks of your life. On both cheeks, you'll remember me for the rest of your life. You'll be named after me for the rest of your life.
You see, friends, the difference is all these other artists that we've played in the past and will continue to play, all of them except the Canadian False Bob seem to understand that this is a big collaborative project. The Canadian counterfeiters didn't collaborate with us or with anybody else except by lying to them, and they don't acknowledge that any other subgenius artists even exist. I mean, they think that with their money they can blanket the media with PR that will somehow eclipse our 13 years worth of existence, books, radio shows, videos, etc. But they don't have any of what makes this old church what it is, friends. They're not angry. They're not funny.
And they don't throw open their arms to any old weirdo who feels alone out there, almost no matter how weird they are. In fact, there's none of that. There's just this endless spew of quotes from Marshall McLuhan and LaRouche and various other conspiracy crackpots. And it's like the church of the sub-McLuhan for intellectual conservatives, and everybody else is cut out. Forget any other subgenius artists or preachers or bands. All those thousands of people have been contributing to spreading Bob's hope for the weirdos. Forget Bob himself, man. This Bob Dean guy says he is Bob. And you know, I'm beginning to wonder if he doesn't actually believe that. We run into about one psycho a year who thinks he's Bob and Jesus combined. And the difference is most of them are homeless people. But this guy has a sugar daddy, Nelson Thal, who seems to be a little too dense to see the mistake he's made. He wanted to buy, I think Thal wanted to buy himself a pet artist. And the pet artist turned out to be a plagiarist, but Thal didn't think anybody would care. It actually press people who want to hear a less biased. So I should talk to Negative Land or Steve Stein or, for that matter, anybody who's worked with these guys.